Okay, we're in the middle of Siman Resh Mem Vav Sif Hei, in the middle, and we have a Piskei Tshuva to do. We're discussing if a Jew and a non-Jew together are partners in an animal, they may have the non-Jew work on Shabbos and the Jew works on another day, but they must make a condition before they set up the partnership that's how it will go, that the non-Jew has the ownership of the Shabbos day and the Jew has the ownership of the other day corresponding to that. And if they don't make that condition, even if they make conditions after the partnership was set up, it's not allowed to do that. So the Piskei Tshuva follows up on this, and he explains why. If they don't make the condition first, because the prohibition of resting your animal still applies even to an animal that's owned in partnership. Because you own half the animal, so that half the animal has to be resting on Shabbos. And even though you're going to say that the non-Jew, when he's working on Shabbos, he's working it for himself, and the Jew isn't even interested in getting any of the profits on Shabbos, still in all, this is not like a store, okay, where you're not commanded to keep your store resting, so that's not the issue at hand. But here, the animal has to be rested, and that's the problem. It's half of the Jewish animals working on Shabbos, and you have to stop that. Therefore, if you didn't make the condition in the beginning that the Jew has no portion of the animal at all on Shabbos, there's no solution, but you've got to break up the partnership, sell the animals to another person, and then repurchase them, making the conditions in advance before you purchase the animal now. Okay, that you're saying that the animal is completely owned by the goy, and the Jew has no portion of that animal on Shabbos, and then the opposite, the Jew takes another day and the non-Jew has no portion of that. Then it comes out, if you do that, even if you're going to divide up the profits afterwards equally, it's okay. Now that we've gone this far, he says, next point. So once we're saying that the prohibition of the resting of your animal exists if you have any portion of the ownership in the animal, so you have to be careful if you're investing money into stocks or bonds in different groups where they have ownership of animals. Okay, you own a farm or whatever, different stock futures in pork race, I don't know. You're buying live animals. You're buying live animals, right? Whatever. Whether it's a farm or, let's say, a chicken coop or things like that. And if you're a partner in a way that you have a voting right, as it were, in the stocks, then you have to make a condition before you're in that partnership, as we explained, that you don't have any ownership of those animals on Shabbos. And if you can't do that, So what do you do if you can't do that? Let's say you've bought a stock and you own and you have voting rights on these animals. It could be a minimal amount. It doesn't matter. So you have a 1% ownership on the animals. So it's still 1% of those animals is working on Shabbos that are owned by you. Well, you could obviously sell your stocks, but there is another way out, he says. It's that you can sell your portion of your stock. You can own your stock, but sell a portion of your stock to a non-Jew, and you make with him a cheshbon that you are giving him a portion of more than 1/7 of the ownership of the animal. So if a seventh would be 14.3% or whatever, so let's say you sell 15% or 16% of the animal. Why do you have to do more? Because you have to include yontif over the course of a year. So it's going to be a little bit more than 1/7 because you have at least 8, 9, 10 yontif days there. But you sell him an agreement of the ownership of the animal and the profits that would be coming to him. And then you'll be okay, because then you're selling him your ownership of the animal. So let's say you have 1% of the ownership of the animals for 7 days of the week. So you tell them, I'm selling you my Shabbos portion of the animal, and it belongs to you. You could do that. Even though with the original partners, you're a 1% owner of all the animals 7 days of the week. So you could take now your portion and tell the non-Jew, I'm selling my portion to you. I'm selling you a one, and you write it in such a way, and you're getting the, you have all the ownership on Sabbaths and holidays, and therefore I'm not interested in that, and you'll get, in whatever profits that come, you're going to get some of those profits.
The profits themselves aren't distinguished between the days that they make.
That's okay, but you're selling him ownership, just like we said the profits in the original. If you make an original deal with a non-Jew, just one Jew and one non-Jew, and you buy one animal, you still have the, you can say, you have ownership of Shabbos, and I have ownership on Sunday. We split the other days, and we can split the profits. That's not a problem. Okay.
Yeah, but couldn't you declare your stock, the 1%, ownerless on Shabbos?
No, but then you're gonna, what are you going to do with the profits?
Well,
you're going to not take
the
profits?
The animals, didn't we? Or with the farm, rather.
That's if the guy, it was, he had no other choice.
Well, it was Bidiyevit.
This is not Bidiyevit. Sell your stock.
That's almost here, impossible. All that scenario, very unlikely, because you have to go through a lot of things to do that.
What? Sell your stock? It's not hard to
for
sell.
For one day to avoid when the stock is...
Well, you don't have a choice. You don't have a choice. You bought the wrong stocks.
Something else.
It's not about those stocks. The situation we talked about last week was you own it and you told him you don't want him to use it on Shabbos. You did everything you could. Now he wants to use it on Shabbos. Then you can make it hefker. We don't initially set things up to make them hefker. And here you have a choice. Go sell him that thing. And that's what you got to do. And again, whenever you're doing this kind of deal with a non-Jew in partnership, you must also do this for the weekdays. In other words, it's well known that the non-Jew has a portion in your animal. Then you could do all these things we're talking about. But if it's still known as the Jew, and let's say it's the Jews, let's say the non-Jew is a silent partner, where everyone knows these are Jewish animals, and the non-Jew is only a silent partner, then you can't have your animals working on Shabbos if people are knowing that these are your animals, because they're going to see it's your animals that are working on Shabbos, and it's clearly Marasayin. Even though you legally did everything 100% fine, but it appears to be your animal. And therefore, an owner who owns a farm or a chicken coop or different farming things, and there's animals there, and you want to make want them to do prohibited work on Shabbos, a partnership agreement will not be good enough. And you're selling it just for Shabbos and Yom Tov, will not be good enough. And even if you publicize that, 1 second, right? Except in a press situation where it's a great lot of money, then you could maybe make a Shilas Chacham. So basically, the farming, it's not easy. You're going to have to not work them on Shabbos. A Jew should not purchase a farm where the animals are required to work on Shabbos. That's not a good purchase. And if you have, and if it's well known that it's your farm. Okay, nowadays, I don't know if anybody owned a farm, how well known that would be in the Jewish community, that this is Chaim Yankel's farm.
I'm talking about Israel nowadays.
Okay, even in Israel, it's, you know, people just aren't, you know, people are, usually Jews live in cities and not on farms. And if they're farms, so guess what? In Israel, you don't work the animals on Shabbos. Listen, they keep Shemitah too, which is a lot harder than not working the animals on Shabbos. So the farm is closed on Shabbos.
The only issue I have is like the infinitesimal ownership. You own shares in a bank that's foreclosed on a farm. So they own the farm, and you own shares in the bank.
But you don't have voting, so therefore don't get voting rights on it.
Well, if you don't have voting rights, that's fine. Yeah. Still benefiting from the profit.
But that you don't have voting rights, you're not the real owner. Okay. You're not an owner. You know, we're talking about real voting rights. We're not talking about where, you know, you can't really vote and they just give you a proxy. It's like you're a real owner. Like you
make decisions.
You make decisions, right? So like what kind of decisions do you make, you know, when you have stocks, right? They send you this big thing, proxy to vote who's going to be the board of directors. I think that's about all you ever vote. Who is the board of directors? So you don't have any voting rights. So therefore, it's not, it's just an investment in the corporation, but you don't really own the animals per se. Okay, let's go back inside the Shulchan Aruch, where it gets tricky now. Gets very tricky now. Let's see, first of all, it's fine. Okay, Ve'im. Okay, that's about three lines into this long Sif Hei. Okay. Im yalve oso le'en Yehudi behalvo gemura. What if you lend this animal with a complete lending? A complete lending. What does that mean? Shehei reshus biyoto, that the non-Jew has the power in his hands, lehotzia, that he can even sell the animal to others, im yirtza, if he wants to. You give him that permission. Even if you wouldn't want to sell to him, but you're giving him permission. You're lending it to him. You're lending him the animal, but you give. Let's say I lend you $100. Now, does that mean you can't spend $100? You can spend $100, and you give me a different $100 back. Okay. So now, let's say I'm lending you an animal, and the terms of the loan are such that the non-Jew could do whatever he wants with the animal. He can sell it, and then he'll just give me another animal. He'll owe me the money, right? Let's continue. Ve'yiskov hadamim. I'm not sure what yiskov means. I think you put up the money. I'm not sure exactly the English translation. Al ha'eni Yehudi. In other words, you make it that it becomes an IOU. The non-Jew owes you money for this animal. All right? So now I've lent you an animal worth $100. How does he translate the word yiskov? But that's what the context means.
He sets his value as a debt.
Okay, he sets it as a debt. So I'm lending. So it's almost like he lends him money. I lend you an animal worth $100, and at the end of the day, you've got to give me back $100 at least. You could sell the animal, but there's more than that. V'achrayus hashvarim, and the responsibility on the oxen, ala eni Yehudi, is on the non-Jew from any accidents or any devaluation that would happen to the animal. So for all intents and purposes, although we said before, when you lend an animal to a non-Jew, you still can't have the non-Jew work on it on Shabbos. But here, if I'm lending it in a way where it is lent and he has complete ownership of that animal, but it's all he is incurring a debt to me. Okay, then mutar, the non-Jew can do work with that on Shabbos, because it really isn't considered my. Like, what's the difference in if I would lend $100 to a goy and he buys a cow with it and works it on Shabbos, and he has to give me back $100? So I'm really lending him the value of the animal, since he has total ownership of the animal. All right, sif katan chaf. Hey, the yiskov, hainu shesom osa b'damim k'mashu. The Jew establishes the price of the animal to what it is. Achshav now. Now, v'im tisyaker. What if the animal goes up in value, o tuzal, or goes down in value? Then what happens now? Yaakov b'shu. That all happens with the non-Jew. So let's say the animal now, worth 100. He has it, now it's worth 200. Non-Jew sells it for 200. He only has to give you back 100. Or if it goes down, the opposite. And still in all, hisna, the Shulchan makes a condition, gam ken she reshus biyado lotzio, that the non-Jew can do whatever he wants with it. The sphere lay, he holds bedasa yesh omer. He holds like the original yesh omer before. And siv dal the inisheha, any yudi yochel mach, the non-Jew should be able to sell it. Okay, we'll have to stop here.
So this kind of rental could have been done in every case.
But right? Not everybody wants to rent things that way. Some people want to get their cow back.
Yeah, they're attached to that.
That's the difference.